It's the Rick Emerson Show. Good God, you're a geek, says this email.
You tool.
Any chance you could get Sarah to dress up as Yeoman Ron for Halloween? Yeoman Ran. You could be Kirk. Tim could be Spock. Sweetness, it says. All right.
Ooh, I want to be Counselor Deanna Troi.
I want you to be Counselor Deanna Troi, too.
Except for the purple spandex outfit.
And the,
and the giant breasts.
I wasn't going to say that. Well, no, don't. What are you talking about, baby? A friend of mine actually sat next to Rick Berman on a plane flight once, and Rick Berman was one of the guys who was sort of the helmer of that show. He was the Gene Roddenberry of Next Generation. And they were talking about Marina Sirtis, who played Counselor Deanna Troi, how she got fatter with every season. And he noted that if you watch, there's a direct correlation. Wider the ass gets, the lower the shirt gets. And he was apparently really drunk. He was had many, 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 scotches or whatever. And he's like, yep. The wider her ass gets, the more we have to bring down that shirt in the front. And if you watch it, it's completely true.
That's pretty funny.
I used to work at a business, not surprising, where we had a large cardboard standee of Counselor Deanna Troi. And the really awkward part was we had to put a post-it note over it eventually because it was too distracting. She had she was wearing the divisive clothing, as we've come to call it. You know, the overly snug, down below. And it's a whole lot of, you know. Anyway, and it was, yes, so we had to, and you didn't want to look at it, but you did, because you couldn't believe that they would release it like that. Like, you can't, I mean, you got...
Like the girl, like the fangirl?
Like the fangirl that had a maxi pad. The fangirl over at Sports Radio 1080 The Fan, where one of their fangirls on the calendar had a goddamned maxi pad. Showing, like, she look at me, I'm fertile.
Look at my sexy see-through underwear.
Look at my sexy uterine lining. And it was wearing a feminine product that was very clear. And somebody had to see that, right, and go, good enough. Approved. Note to self, if you're doing a calendar with girls, try not to make sure that it isn't like a string hanging out of her pants or something, because that's nobody's idea of sexy. Unless you're like this guy that wants to kill your girlfriend and then sleep with her and a plant before killing cats the next day. And I don't mean killing cats in the FARC kind of way either. What was my point? Yeah, so we had to put a post-it note over the lower half of Marina Sirtis because you would just sort of stare at it and wonder who disliked her enough to put out a standee where she's wearing clothing that are sort of lifting and separating things that ought not to be lifted and separated. And you know what I'm talking about. It's 503-733-2970. Jim Roop was supposed to be here about 8 minutes ago.
I booked him for 4.
Scotty J, what's up with that?
Calling CNN.
Yeah, please now to call CNN and to be finding out what's going on with Jim Roop. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran's going to join us here in just a little short while. We'll be here around 2 o'clock. Top 5, blah, 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 blah. This joke is from an hour ago. Let's see if it holds up. Eric?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, Rick?
I'm sorry, Eric, I forgot you were there. You may tell your joke
right
now. What is it says here you are Eric the what?
Arguer.
This is, Scotty, by the way, has spelled arguer with an apostrophe in the middle.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have it that way.
Yeah, I know. all right, what's up?
Well, say something about a cat so this is relevant again.
Hold on. Well, let me read an email about a cat here. Hold on, I'm sure I've got one. Wait. Let me read this, because we were asking about it, and I do want to know this. This is a thing I legitimately wonder about, which is, why cats that everybody hates? There is there's no unanimity. There is no unanimous decision on the dislike of any other animal to the degree that there is a dislike of cats, and it is universal. This email from Donna says, Rick, the reason that people/men hate cats out of any other animal is they break the golden rule, don't bite the hand that feeds you. I don't care how sweet your cat is, you know at any time it could bite you or slap you for no reason. If your dog bit you just because you tried to pet him, hug him, or praise him, you'd take him out back and shoot him in the head. When you told other people that you tried to pet your dog and he bit you, they'd consider it responsible for you to get rid of him in some way. No other animal gets away with what a cat does, and that is why we hate them. The end, Donna. Well done. Congratulations, Donna. For summing it up. There you go.
All right. Yeah, I have to agree. We're just jealous of them. But, no, there's an ancient proverb. I'm pretty sure it's Catholic, and I think a good religious person like you probably already knows it. But that's that every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. And as a side note, if we can't get good old Mark Foley for statutory rape, we might be able to get him for cruelty to animals. Really? Well, I can't hear you anymore if anything's going on. Have a good one.
Right. How long did he wait on hold for?
An hour. Time well spent, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty's having to screen. That was excellent. All right. Quickly, we'll get Corey and then Rube. Corey, hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, Corey?
Okay, so my geek knowledge is only, like, moderate, okay? But I seem to remember on the last episode of Star Trek, the big finale.
Now, you're talking about the last episode,
Next Generation.
Next Generation, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, weren't there, like, three ships, one from the beginning of the whole, like, series, then there was present time, and then there was the future, where the guy with the, you know, I'm facing names, but the goatee guy, he's got a new version of the ship, I thought.
Oh, William Riker?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I
want to argue with Aaron.
Wrong
of me.
I'm confusing this with another episode. What was that episode where they saw into the future? And they saw a version of themselves that was under attack by, I don't think it was like Romulans or something. They saw a version of themselves that was under attack, and Riker was all old and haggard looking.
Was that the one where, like, Beverly Crusher and Worf were, like, married?
I don't know, and he's looking,
and
he's sort of like, turn back, before it's too late, and they saw an alternate version of themselves where they were under attack. Now I'm getting those two confused in my head. Okay, but here's the thing, I'm going to make a note of it, and when Aaron comes in, which will be later on in this hour, we'll ax him that. Let's see.
Yeah, cross-reference.
Corey, three ships, last episode, and we'll have him give the definitive answer, sir.
Oh, and then we'll all know. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you can check it off your list of things to worry about.
Big time. It's a huge list. So.
All right. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Corey. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Ruth! Yeah! I love LA. As do I. Because Los Angeles gives us James Roop, CNN radio correspondent and God. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you, sir. Are you really well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you. No, see, because, you know, like, Baumgarten says that, and you know that it's just a lie. Actually, it's not Baumgarten so much
as... because he's hunkered down in a watchtower somewhere with a gun.
Yeah, he's not fine, but he will be once the time of cleansing happens.
That's right.
It's really Costantini who says that he's fine, and then you can tell... Here's the thing about Bob Costantini. Who's that on your screen over there, Sarah?
Oh, that's Penelope Cruz.
Really?
Yeah.
From the side, she looks... that can't be her. She looks good. Really? That's a picture of Penelope Cruz where she actually looks good. Yeah, she should keep that picture. No, here's the thing is that you talk to Costantini, and God love that guy, but you talk to Bob Costantini, you can tell that this is what happens immediately before he calls us. He hunkers down, and he sort of closes his eyes, and he does, like, some sort of Zen breathing exercise to find his inner core. And then he kind of gives up like a... All right, Bob, let's get through this. And then he just, you can sense him when I say, like, welcome now, Bob Costantini, that he's bracing himself because he just expects it to be one long, unpleasant ride. So, you though, my friend, you roll with it and you're naturally gold is what you are.
I'm just here to help, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. So I got one real story here and then we never did discuss the fake, the obviously made up story with you. But I'm going to get to that today. My friend, but first, Tim Riley, newsman extraordinaire, had to be the latest on this. And this is, Schwarzenegger said this thing today. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said, the phrase was, and he said it as you can tell me what he means by this. He said that it is a problem that some Mexican immigrants, quote, try to stay Mexican when they come to the U.S., end quote. And what does he mean by that?
Well, geographically, it is harder for somebody to assimilate or become part of a country when they can just go home. You know, it's like going to college. If you go away to college, you get immersed in the college life and you have a great experience. But if you're going home every night and driving back to class, you don't really get into the college experience. You're
right.
Still kind of a home guy. And it's the same thing with the country. What Schwarzenegger's saying is that because Mexicans live right next to Mexico here, they can be Mexican when they want to. They go home on the weekends or whatever. Then they come here and try to be American when they're here, and it just doesn't work. To be truly successful in America, you have to immerse yourself in the American culture and become part of the American culture, not just be a Mexican in America.
No, that's a fair point. No, I can see.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. I can. Okay. Now, see, that makes sense. See, because it, of course, because the news did what the news usually does, which is they took the one sentence and they chopped off the beginning and the end, and they gave you the four words in the middle that made him look crazy.
Right.
But no, I can totally see exactly what you're talking about. And I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day, saying that you know what, I could never do this job anywhere else. In other words, in a country that wasn't America. Because it's not just a matter of knowing how to speak a language. Like, even if I knew how to speak French, let's say, I could never move to France and do what I do here. Because, and I understand that this job here, what I do, is an extreme example of this. But it requires an intricate knowledge of sort of nooks and crannies of American culture. Not just in specific, not just in specific things, like knowing all about, whatever, Three's Company. But in just knowing how the people in a certain country sort of, you know, the sort of ebb and flow of sort of mindset and attitude and things that they do and things that they embrace and things that they don't and, you know, stuff that maybe shouldn't matter, but that does. I'm totally with you on that. I'm absolutely with you there, especially when you consider that, as I always say, other countries export, you know, whatever, electronics or food or textiles or something. We export culture. That is the single biggest product and export from this country is culture. And if you are going to be successful in a country whose biggest product is culture, it will help you if you assimilate and learn it yourself.
Wow, well said. Well said.
You can write that down. You should give that next time somebody's running for something. You can give that to them. Just tell them.
You know that I'm going to repeat that to somebody.
It's true. I've said that for the longest time. That I'm not saying we don't make anything else. I mean, we make cars to some degree and so forth. You talk to people around the world. You look online. You look at fashion. You look at whatever. Culture is what we're good at, and so, you know, you gotta have at least a passing knowledge of what it is that your country does. And in our case, it is culture. So,
yep.
Hey, speaking of culture, though, and that ties into this news story that I wanted to read. It was clearly fake, and it is from some foreign news. It's from the Independent, which is a British paper. And so I guess you take this with a grain of salt because it is British. But I mean, but presumably they're talking about this as a worldwide phenomenon. There is this sort of dynamic that happens in the news sometimes where a journalist, usually a newspaper writer, who doesn't have anything real to cover or has run out of actual news to report, what they'll do is they'll report on a phenomenon that they're just making up, and they do it in hopes of actually causing it to become a phenomenon.
Okay.
And you see this a lot with scary things that are going to kill your or impregnate your children. Like in the suburbs, they'll talk about, like, you know, teenagers are getting together for so-called jelly bracelet parties or whatever, and it'll be some like fake sexual scare tactic that a journalist will just write an article about claiming that it's epidemic, and of course it's never really happening anywhere, but they do it, and then parents get freaked out about it, and then it becomes a thing that kids actually do. Listen to this from the Independent. First, the music was rehabilitated, then the fashions, and recently even the food. Now, 1970s perfumes are making a comeback with young people. Anytime a news story uses the phrase young people, by the way, that's someone who has no idea what they're talking about. They're speaking out of their buttocks. A new generation discovers the allure, they say, of, quote, Brut and Old Spice. Sales of so-called heritage scents, and that's in quotes, by the way, and so that's another thing they're making up. No one uses that phrase. Sales of so-called heritage, so-called, called only by Maxine Frith, who wrote this article. That's a term that no one in the world has ever used until Maxine Frith claimed that they did in this article. I'm telling you that.
Well, I've never heard it before.
No, it's crap. Are increasing, particularly among younger customers. Long-forgotten fragrances are being revived. Listen, you want to talk about a statement? Listen to this. Are being revived as teenagers embrace all things retro. And this next part is priceless. Quote, in an effort to smell like their parents did many decades ago. End quote. Because that's what That's what everybody wants. What a dad used to smell like. Let me go find that.
I don't ever want to re-smell my dad again.
Well, if your dad was like mine, it was probably just a lot of generic beer in a bowling alley. That's the smell
right.
on that guy. Yeah.
That's right.
What a scratch-off tickets and desperation smell like?
Well, first of all, I've never known a young person who embraced anything retro. They're all trying to find their own. They're all trying to do one better than the generation before, whether it be music or fashion. And sure, things are cyclical. I mean, you do see hints of old fashion or hints of music that used to be, if you will, but nobody ever tries to get right back to it.
And then they list here the favorite fragrances of the past. They, again, are, quote, making a comeback with younger people. First, and you and I are old enough to remember almost all of these. I bet that I am too. Old Spice.
Yeah.
With the slogan, the mark of a man. Can you whistle the Old Spice jingle? Yeah!
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I thought I was the only one who could do it. Well done. With the slogan, the mark of a man, the aftershave was touted as a hit with the ladies, especially if it accessorized an open shirt and a bottle of Blue Nun. Do you realize that there are multiple varieties of Old Spice?
I did not know that. I thought there was only one.
My dad had like three different kinds of Old Spice, and they all came in that one bottle. It was like a weird sort of triangular bottle.
Yep.
Right below that. When I say old fragrance from the past for men, what else do you think of, Jim Roop?
Brute, High Karate, Brill Cream.
The two right below it, High Karate and Brute. I don't know if you remember the ads that they would used to have for High Karate, but High Karate was the worst aftershave on earth. The worst. It was so terrible. And what were the ads that you remember them using to sell this?
Well, it'd be a couple of Asian guys going, High Karate, whatchee!
They
chop each other.
And I remember ads where it showed a guy literally having to use karate to get the women off of him.
He was using karate to get the women off of him.
It was like Spanish Fly. You would put it on, and women would actually attack you. And actually, to such a degree that the High Karate, which is the worst-smelling cologne ever, you actually had to use martial arts to get women off your jock. So excited were they by this.
Yeah.
And then right there, Brute. So there you go.
What about, do they have anything? Remember that orange stuff they called it musk?
Oh, musk. Oh, my God. Yeah.
In the 70s, mid-70s, that was popular.
Well, and musk is terrible because, unless I'm wrong, I believe musk comes from the gland of an elk.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, and I don't want to put anything on my body to attract women that came out of a squishy gland inside an animal. That's
just like I don't eat anything from a chicken called a nugget. I'm not going to put anything called musk on.
And I think there were probably female equivalents of this as well. I just remember there being there was that Charlie. That's all I remember. And that and my mom used to splash on Jeanette. That's all I remember. So there you go, Jim Roop. So you've owned English leather. Well done, Scotty. English leather. I remember.
English leather. I remember that.
English leather. I wore English leather in high school. English leather or nothing at all.
I got smacked with leather.
I wore English. My two cologne, and then we'll end this. My two colognes in high school, English leather and Stetson. And if you bought enough of it, it came with a hat. That's all I remember. So there you go. So from across the pond, Jim Roop, you can be the first person in the continental United States, the first person here in the colonies to report about the resurgence of Brute among young teenagers who wish to smell like their parents did.
Well, I'm going to go buy up some High Karate and hand it over to my son and say, load up.
There you go. There you go, son. Just hand him the High Karate and just a huge box of rubbers. There you go. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Everything a growing boy needs. Jim Roop, enjoy your Southern California weekend, my friend. We will talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, sir.
There you go, my friend. Jim Roop, live in Los Angeles. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner. Later on, Aaron Geek in the City. Duran will be here. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere.
Told me she'd love me, and I told her that I'd do the same. I just can't remember her name. I brought it on myself, and I guess that I shouldn't complain. Hey,
Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran will be here. I got this. I was going to make this a serial killer watch, but it was just too creepy. You know what I'm talking about? If the story's creepy and a whole bunch of this story out of Oakland, I should have asked Rupe about this, actually. It's from NBCSanDiego.com. The worst part of the story is, I got this from the website, it's this completely horrifying story. Do you ever go to a website and it's just like a totally inappropriate advertisement right in the middle of some story? You know, it'd be like, you know, a story about Mark Foley or something, in the middle of it is just a picture of a small child playing on a swing for some reason. This is a horrible serial killing story, and in the middle is just like this, smiling woman holding a bunch of bags. Anyway, it's only creepy when you read the context. It's from Dateline, Oakland, California. Let's see. Subject line, headline. Suspect's basement, quote, just like Silence of the Lambs,
oh,
end
God.
Quote. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I was going to make this.
Was there like a well and fingernails?
Oh, you'll hear it all in a moment. And you'll note that I had written on here, serial killer watch. And then I read the story, and it's like, here's the thing. We could either do the story, or we could play the serial killer opening close. Not both. Maybe I'll isolate it. Maybe I'll read the story now, and we'll just play the watch later to amuse ourselves. Dateline, Oakland, California. Authorities arrested a man Tuesday night who they believe brutally killed a woman and may have killed others inside his East Oakland home, Detective Tony Jones said during a press conference on Wednesday. On August 26th, Earl Stevenson, 41, drove a woman suffering from, quote, I don't even know what this means, quote, severe trauma over 90% of her body, end quote, to Highland Hospital. The woman later identified as 36-year-old Leslie, and this is the creepy part, her name, Leslie Lamb, was pronounced dead at the hospital. Oh. Stevenson, who was employed as a roofer, claimed he found her in a car. That seems likely. Police said they were able to determine that Lamb had not been inside the car where Stevenson claimed to have found her. Shock, shock. Police said they determined Stevenson had a history of abusing Lamb. When authorities searched his home in the 3400 block of Coolidge Avenue, they found Lamb's blood. But, you know, hers. Not a lamb, but the woman. Blah, 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 Lamb. Lamb's blood and the blood of two other unidentified women. Police said Stevenson had, quote, abused her in a room set up in his basement, which they described as frightening. They would not elaborate on what the basement looked like, except to say, and this is really the whole money sentence. Police would not elaborate on what his basement looked like, except to say, quote, it was a complete Silence of the Lambs type of setting down there, end quote. The police officer also said, quote, the room was very dark and frightening, even for the experienced police officers working the case. At this point, police have no... Oh, this is creepy. Police have no idea who the... Okay, so they this business of there being two other women, that's not based on bodies. That's just based on blood they found that didn't belong to this woman. So they don't know where the women are that belong to this other blood that they found. Good God. All right, so there you go. That's not a serial killer. Well, I mean, it is. We're not going to do the thing.
I wonder if it was built by a licensed contractor.
You know, well, because you got to be careful, because otherwise OSHA will get all over your ass about that. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, there have been more than 12,000, yes, 12,000 Iraqi police casualties in the past 2 years. 4,000 of them killed. But U.S. Major General Joseph Patterson says the police officers are becoming more confident.
Oh, do I have to get sound here?
Nope. Okay. Right now you do, though.
All right.
Here we go.
Sorry, Bank 1?
Bank 1, yes.
Reload Bank A?
We're going to number 3.
All right, okay.
Just a moment. A new study finds The Daily Show with Jon Stewart offers more substantial news on politics than traditional nightly newscasts.
The bottom line is that in a comparative sense, they're equally substantive. In an absolute sense, neither one of these programs is particularly substantive.
It's so funny. Sarah and I were having lunch with Mike Everhart yesterday, our good friend who works in another radio company here, and we were just talking. After you left it, I was talking about that. There's something, some study that came out the other day that is equal parts unsurprising and horrifying and sad and great, where they said that 68% of college kids get their news from Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, which is, you sort of hear it and you go, oh, that's too bad. And then you, that's your first reaction. But then you really think about it, and really, what actually is the difference between Jon Stewart and Fox News, for example, at this point, who are routinely identifying Mark Foley as being a Republican? So, although I heard that the AP later did that with Dennis Hastert, where they were calling him, or they're calling him a Democrat, where they were calling him a Democrat. So, at this point, it doesn't even, you know, doesn't even really matter.
Indiana telecommunications professor Julia Fox says people remember what they see on The Daily Show more often than traditional news broadcasts.
There's actually reason to believe that the substantive information that couched within the comedic source might actually be better remembered.
People are more receptive to absorbing information when they're in a good mood.
When you're watching comedy, you're in a positive mood. You're in what we call an approach mode. Your appetitive motivational system is activated. And when that happens, you actually take in more information than when you're in an avoid mode.
Well, whatever. I've gotten to the point where I can't watch. And I know that this program can be a little edgy sometimes. But really, when I'm not, I go home. I was thinking about Bill Maher the other day. I don't know if I made this observation on the air. I think I was just talking to my wife about this.
Well, Blitzer had him on the other day.
You know, I could no longer hear the name Wolf Blitzer because it's just all like, Wolf Blitzer. Really, Bill Maher?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Bill Maher. I mean, I don't know. Do you watch Real Time with Bill Maher?
I don't have HBO.
All right. Oh, that's right. Here's the thing. It's more or less it's like politically incorrect. It is, you know, sort of meets Larry King or something. But I was thinking about Bill Maher the other day and how, I mean, I would call myself a Bill Maher fan, and I was a fan of Politically Incorrect, but you know what? I gotta tell you, it's been about, I can't remember how long he's been back on, because he does like half a year off and half a year on, but anyway, I mean, it's been months since I really sat and watched that Bill Maher show all the way through. And it's not that he's not a smart guy, because he is, it's not that he's not a funny guy that he is, he gets an interesting panel to talk about the issue, but you know, I just come to the point where I can't watch any of those programs that are solely based on a bunch of people shrieking at each other about political issues. I mean, and we
like Crossfire.
Exactly. We've passed that point. It's like Hannity and Combs or any of those subjects. I can know any panel show, any show that is solely based on two people or more who are on opposite sides of the political aisle just yelling at each other for 45 minutes. I just find myself wishing that somebody would charge the stage and just kill them all. I can't watch those programs anymore. I just can't. And so the conclusion I've come to about Bill Maher is I can't watch him. I don't enjoy his shows. I'm glad he's out there. That's my thing. I'm glad he's out there. I'm glad he's doing his thing. Not going to watch it. Same thing with CNN, because CNN, of course, God love them, but CNN television, with every passing year, they fall further and further behind Fox. Their solution is somehow just to become more and more like Fox, which all that does is ensure that I'm just never going to watch it. So, yeah, all things being equal, I'll watch Stephen Colbert.
Meanwhile, from Arkansas comes word a scam artist built an elderly woman by promising to squirrel-proof her home. The man told the lady he had seen a squirrel crawl into the plumbing vent atop her home and offered to cap the vent for $40. Well, when he went to the door later for the payment, he said he capped 100 holes and was charging $4,000. The elderly woman paid
$2,000. She talked him down. Well, that's good. I like how she wasn't quite bright enough to figure that it was a scam artist, but she was cheap enough to bargain him down from $4 to $2.
Well, what's a squirrel or two, really?
I don't know. They are going to kill us, though. We figured that out. Oh, we've got an accident report. Hello, this is because we're live and local. Hello, what's up? Where's the accident at?
Yeah, hey, Rick, this is Dante, and there's a rollover accident involving a creepy van and a Toyota Pathfinder or Nissan Pathfinder over at Southeast 26th and Holgate.
When you say a creepy van.
Dude, you know how it is. 70s vans, man, with the blacked out windows.
Oh, like the kind you keep cheerleaders inside of.
The wheel cover on the back. You know,
yeah.
Has good times on it. Bad orange paint job. You know,
bringing
I mean.
Them to a Silence of the Lambs basement.
Exactly. All right,
that was
so that's
Tim Riley.
That's at 26th and Holgate.
That's a 26th and Holgate, and they've got it shut down. The van is actually the one that's rolled over.
Well, that's a real tricky place to drive anyway, because everybody drives through there like maniacs, and nobody really stops at a stop sign at that intersection. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But
all right,
stay
so
away from
avoid
there.
That.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
Well, they're in a hurry to make their deliveries. Whatever they deliver up there.
So, hurry to deliver some Cub Scouts into a hole in their basement. All right, here's Tim Riley.
From Pierre, South Dakota comes word. The old governor's mansion is back together again after being stored in four pieces after being removed from Pierre. Leon Brody bought the 18-room, 70-year-old mansion and moved it to the outskirts of Rapid City. He hopes to open it to the public. Why did they take apart the old governor's mansion?
I don't know.
Well, because they built the governor a brand new 73-room mansion.
And where is this at?
South Dakota.
Okay, well, there you go. There's your.
Well, they need a big mansion. There.
State's entire budget for a year. But this, I was going to put this under religious nutcase watch, and then we're so up to our. We didn't even tease any watches. That's how busy this show is.
Yeah, we're busy, busy, busy.
It is true. Busy like bees. This is the headline: Pentecostals widening influence. And I really only am going to read this so I can make this one observation. It is a Dateline New York. A new 10-nation survey of Pentecostal and charismatic Christians. What? Is that a kind of Christian now?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand. Is that a media term, or is that like an actual term?
That's like a Kurt Cameron type of...
Oh, this is sort of like a really mainstream, this is like a mall, like a shop at the mall Christian. This is a suburban Christian. A new 10-nation survey of Pentecostal and charismatic Christians. Charismatic Christians who are considered the fastest growing stream of Christianity worldwide. I've never heard that.
They're
term
the
before.
Ones with the big smile.
Yeah, no, they're really unthreatening and they charismatic Christians. So they sort of are to Jesus as fish sticks are to a whale. Sort of bleached of all the thing that actually, you know, give you take a fish stick. The appealing thing about a fish stick, of course, is that it's really easy compartmentalized, doesn't have any of the actual attributes of a fish to it. And, you know, has no actual fish flavor or taste, and so it goes down a lot easier. Show that they are deeply influencing the Roman Catholic and mainstream church, poised to make a big impact on global politics. Now listen to this, though. The poll released Thursday by the Washington-based Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life found that, quote, spirit-filled Christians, defined as belief in healing through prayer and the speaking in tongues, comprise at least 10% of the population in 9 of the 10 surveyed countries. We should have somebody on to do the weather or the traffic or something in tongues one of these days. You know,
where do you get speaking in tongues lesson? Like at a community college,
you know,
or where
can
do you
I just can I just tell you? And I shouldn't even say this. I shouldn't.
I want to know.
I know, and it's one of those things that I don't feel like I should say, and that always is the indication, of course, that I should say it.
You're going to say it.
This is like when Sarah will say something like, you know, I was talking to Davey about. Oh, I can't tell you. And then, of course, that's how we know that it's something great. Now, my mom, God love her, and she's all better. I should say this now. My mom's not crazy anymore. But when I was growing up, my mom was a total nutcase Christian. I'm not trying to knock on Christians, the people who believe in God or whatever, but I mean, there's Christians, and then there's not. Then it's like you can have a cat or you can be a crazy cat person. Well, you can be a Christian or you can be a nutty nutcase Christian, and my mom was a nutty nutcase Christian. And she belonged to this prayer group, and man... And it was all of the crazy things. It was like rolling around and twitching on the floor because the spirit takes you while you're praying. And a lot of like the woman shall cleave unto the man and she'll, you know, don't talk back to your husband and you beat your children if they get out of line. And I remember having the flu one time when I was a kid. I was down with a cold or whatever and I had the sore throat and when I'm sneezing or whatever. And it's normal family, what happens when you got the flu? I mean, whether they take you to the doctor or they give you chicken soup or they give you whatever. Man, I remember my mom having some guy from her prayer group come over, and they do the thing, and I'm laying in bed, and they lay their hands on my forehead, and then the next thing you know, they're just speaking in gibberish. I mean, not even an actual language. It was just a bunch of, it's terrifying. I don't suppose it's terrifying to me now, but when you're 10 years old, your mom comes into your bedroom with some guy. They put their hands on your forehead, and then they're both speaking in a language which clearly is just made up. It's like I was talking about that Sims language yesterday, which is a whole lot of... That's what speaking in tongues sounds like. It's goddamn terrifying when you're a kid. So So it's good to know that they've got an ever-tightening grip on the body politic. That doesn't make me feel unnerved at all.
We were just given NyQuil.
Yeah, well, I wish they'd done that. Jesus. Let's do one more, then we'll do the top five, then we'll break. Here's Tim Riley.
Mel Gibson has fallen off the wagon.
No, we have to, what are you talking about? We do one more here and then the top five? Or do we have to do it next hour?
We'll have to do it next hour.
Okay, you gotta make me do it, though.
Okay.
All right.
What? I didn't even know we were going to do the top
Nothing.
Five. I didn't even think the top five existed anymore.
No, it's right here. I got it in my hand.
Oh, we got
piles. Is this the one from Rockstar Supernova?
Yes, it is, but
we got piles of things here going back months.
I've altered the introduction so that it's no longer egregiously out of date. Well, let's do one more. We'll break. Coming up next hour, Aaron Duran, etc. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Mel Gibson has fallen off the wagon.
No.
Spotted drinking beer at Austin, Texas.
Well done,
Mel. I couldn't believe my eyes. Mel Gibson was swinging a bud with two adoring young ladies hanging on to his every word. This according to a musician named Stephen Smith. He claims the alleged incident occurred at Stubby's Barbecue on September 22nd around 1:15 a.m. 75 people were in the bar, but Gibson and his group were in an area that was cordoned off so they could not be bothered. He was definitely drinking Budweiser. I saw him.
This is fantastic. Well, you know that there's going to be photographs of it.
Yep.
I mean, that's anything you do like that will be photographed, and it will end up on the Perez Hilton site. That's just a given now. You just got to assume that that's the case. All right. Well, let's break here then. We'll take a break. Come back. Aaron Geek in the City Duran going to be joining us at the 2 o'clock hour. We got the top five as well. Don't forget, like us. Coming up at 3:06 today. Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11, etc. Don't forget Timnasium tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's the Four Horsemen.